giving his heart to the broken, and sharing his home with the orphan. He is the joy, he is my joy, he is the hope of the nation.
I want to quickly just run through 10 simple steps for a home-based division for missions, and I want to kind of give these just as a little outline here. One, like I mentioned, is just as a family, establish a mission vision. The Bible talks in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we, you know, we're to teach them to, you know, teach them these things to our children, you know, when we walk by the way, when we sit in the house, it says to write them on the doorposts of our house. And I would encourage as a family to actually put some things around your house that show we are a family with a heart for mission. You know, globes. Stick globes up. Have maps up on the walls. Put missionary books or picture books or children's mission books out on the coffee table. Read stories to your kids. Of just get it out in front of the kids as part of even like write them on the doorposts of your house. This is who we are. This is who we are. Like on our refrigerator, has like missionary newsletters are all over our refrigerator because it's who we are. It's part of just our identity as a family. Two, I would encourage you as a family to do some fun things with passports. And we have a little passport craft. I know your little one is kind of small right now, but something that is a fun thing to do with little children, like little elementary age children, is you can make little passports, and you can we have little stamps that you can even print out, and it's totally free. It's on our Harvest Ministry website, harvestministry.org, and just look under passports. But to just encourage kids that even like as you pray for the world, you can write things in the passport. And then as a family, I would encourage if you have a mission-minded family to have passports for everybody in the house, just in case. Because you just never know when God might open up a door, and it's just really good. We got passports for our kids when they were little, and you know they used them for years. And you know sometimes they sit on the they just sit in the file for a while, and you don't use them. But that's okay. Even just to have passports. So like do some little craft projects with passports for fun, and then get real passports for everybody in the family just in case. A third is to learn about the world as a family. Missionary biography books, different mission books, enjoying international culture and food and music and fashion and design. You know, even like go to like a Pier 1 Imports and you're like, you know, looking at stuff from around the world or listening to music from around the world. And just cultivate in your child a heart for the world and for things that are different. And for me, something that this is just like a Dunnigan, this is just part of how we raised our kids, is we have taught our kids to not be picky eaters. And, you know, that can start when your little one is really little and they're just like, they're, 1-2 years old and they're starting, I mean, kids, sometimes things like green peppers or sometimes tomatoes or sometimes spicy food, it's really hard for little kids to handle. But to encourage your child to not be picky and to be adventurous and daring even in how they eat. And then and then even teaching a child when you're getting to something and it's something they don't like, I did this with my kids all the time, of just realizing, hey, we are a mission-minded family. We are going to eat what is set before us because we never know where we may go and what God may have in front of us. And we might eat sea slugs and fried dog and all kinds of, weird things, which we have over the years. We have eaten all kinds of crazy food. Wow. And that is, sometimes you have food allergies, and so I'm not talking about that, but of just to raise your kids to love international culture and to have fun with that as a family. So to learn about the world. Number four is pray for the world and the lost. That can be things like I mentioned before, the books Operation World, which is how to pray for every nation in the world. Also, Window on the World. It's a children's version. It's a has full color pictures and how to pray for different countries and people groups around the world. It goes eight, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and each one it has either a country or a people group. It's a beautiful, beautiful full color book on just teaching children to pray for the world. Also, just real mission newsletters, or missionary websites, or missionary videos as your children get a little bit older to, you know, watch a couple minute video. I showed a video to my daughter the other day that was about an orphanage ministry, and it had a little girl, that, you know, cute little American girl with a cute little bow in her hair, and she was like, I have a mommy and a daddy, and people give me food, and she says, but some people don't have a mommy and a daddy, and then it showed these, you know, pictures, like video pictures of children, orphans, over in different places around the world, and it was a little advertisement video for a missionary ministry called, it was something like Angel House. Beautiful, darling little video. But just teach our kids to pray for the world and the lost. Can be as simple as singing, like, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And then after you're done singing it, of just realize, you know, let's pray for people who don't know Jesus. You know, we know Jesus, but some children, they don't know Jesus yet, and the Bible says that we have to know Jesus to go to heaven. And as you just instill this in just the foundation of who your child is, and it's connected with their love for God, is their love for others, and you know, sharing their toys. It's not just about sharing their toys; it's about having a compassion for those who have nothing. And, you know, then it, you know, it's like if you're dealing with this thing, maybe you got a friend comes over and, you know, you got a child being selfish and not wanting to share. Well, when the friend leaves, of just talking with your child about, do you know why we need to share? It's because God has blessed us to be a blessing. We have a house, we have a bed, we have toys, but these aren't ours, these are God's. This is God's stuff, these are God's toys. And so we need to share them, and we need to have a heart to share whatever God tells us to give, whatever God shares with us to do. So it just becomes, it's like an underlining undercurrent. It's like your philosophy of parenting is this heart for world missions and for the lost. Number five, like I mentioned before, was giving towards missions. And then I kind of, in talking about sharing, number six is using our home for mission-minded hospitality. And this is something that we can do in all the different seasons of life, is realizing that our home, whether it is a, you know, whether it's a small apartment, you know, whether it's a trailer, you know, whether it's a gorgeous house, it doesn't matter, that our home is God's home and that we are called to share it. And just realizing, you know, let's be hospitable. Let's be the church. Practice hospitality, even if you don't know how to do it very well. It's like, let's practice and invite people over to our home. And, you know, when missionaries come to the church, it can be as simple as you know, you got a little 5-year-old sitting next to you, and you're like, after service, you bring your little 5-year-old up to shake the missionary's hand, and it's like you honor these missionary heroes. And sometimes, of, you know, having missionaries come and stay in your house, or having national ministers from other countries come and stay at your house, or just even sharing your home with other Christians or ministers or people, just practicing mission-minded hospitality, inviting neighbors over for dinner or for popcorn or for ice cream, or just opening up our home to share the love of Jesus. So that is a huge thing we can do. Number 7 was actually honoring missionary heroes, which can be both real life heroes and then also in books, you know, like reading stories to our children, honoring missionaries and honoring like, you know, heroes for the kingdom of God. Who are we going to, you know, hold up in esteem for our children to look to? That you know, even things like as we're training our kids to, you know, learn their ABCs and to, you know, begin to learn their numbers and then begin to be diligent in school, that it's raising our kids so they can fulfill the call of God on their life, whatever that is, to be a, you know, a mission-minded Christian in whatever sphere of influence or society that they're going to be called to, that we are all called to be men and women of God. So, and then number 8 is encouraging missions in our local church. You know, even like during a time that maybe you're in a season that you're at home. I know that you had mentioned there, Brittany, about how, you know, you can encourage others and like support others who are going. That can also be, maybe there's like a college girl in your church, or maybe a high school guy that's getting ready to go on a mission trip, is be encouraging towards them. You know, give them a gift and pray for them. And then maybe as a family, like pray for that teenage kid in your church that's praying for the money for them to go on a mission trip. And realize if you got some other people in your sphere of influence that they are in the season to go, care about them. You know, say, oh, hey, make sure you send me your newsletter. I want to get your newsletter. And then when the newsletter comes, you like show it to your kids. Oh, look, you know, here's Adrian. He's going on a mission trip, and we're going to pray for him, and this is what he's praying for. And he's going to go and be able to, you know, preach the gospel to these people in this village where they don't know Jesus, and we are going to pray for him. And have your kids pray specifically for, like, this teenage kid who they know who's going on a mission trip, or a college kid, or, a young couple. And then when those people come back, then they share the report, and your kid has been a part of the process. And that's awesome. Then it just becomes so natural when your children are older that they're going to want to go, and they're going to want to do things, and they're going to want to support other people who are involved in the Great Commission, and they're going to want to stir up a heart for missions in their local church. So it's like as a family, it becomes this flavor that you have as a family. You see it on your walls. People come into your house and they feel it. They see it. They see you being encouraging towards others and caring and loving towards the lost and the hurting. And then number 9 is reaching out in our local community and realizing, you know, there's people right around us who also need Jesus. And then lastly is going when it is time that we would be willing to go. And one kind of thought about to young moms is realizing that there's a lot of different ways that it can look. Sometimes people think, you know, being able to travel and do missions as a family, there's only one way that can happen. You know, we've got to all go and move overseas, and that's the only, you know, it's like all or nothing. Or, you know, we've got to travel and we've got to all stay together as a family, and, you know, we don't want to separate the family, and so it's all or nothing. What I want to just encourage you as moms is to realize there are lots of different possibilities that you can, there's so many different ways that a family can be involved in world missions. A husband can go and a wife can be at home. Sometimes a wife can go. My husband and I, we had, about 10 years, maybe about 7 years or so, that we mostly went tag team, where my husband would go and do, like, citywide evangelism and working with national ministers in real remote, really war-torn, really, really rugged areas. It wasn't places where we could bring the little kids, where he would go and I was at home. But then when we started doing orphan ministry and doing a lot of like women's ministry, then my husband would stay home and I would go to do the orphan checkups and the women's ministry, and he would stay home with the kids, and then he would go and I would stay home. And there were times that we would each take like older teenagers, where my husband would take our boys one by one. I've taken our daughters one by one. We've done it where we've taken nursing babies. We've done it where we've taken toddlers. When we had a whole bunch of little kids, we mm-hmm. always traveled with a family when we had one and two and three and four. And then once we got about four, it became too difficult. So then we were in a season about 4 years I couldn't go at all. And so I was at home. And I during that season, I did a lot of writing and kind of really pouring out a lot of the passion in my heart out in books and just, you know, getting, you know, books and journals and just, you know, getting that out. But then, you know, now we're getting into a new season where it's getting easier now. We only have three children at home, and they're teenagers, and our youngest is almost a teenager, but it's a lot easier now than it was in those seasons. So there's there's seasons of life.
Yes, well, I appreciate you so much taking the time to invest in us younger moms.
So I just want to close in a word of prayer and just pray for God's blessing over each of you as moms and just over your children and your babies and your little one. And a word I just want to speak is, you remember the story of Mary of Bethany? It was actually a week before Jesus went to the cross, and Mary was pouring out her ointment at the feet of Jesus. You remember that story?
Yes.
And the people, you know, Judas and the other disciples, they said, "Oh, this is just a waste. You know, that perfume could have been sold and given to the poor, and you know, what a waste." But Jesus, he just looked at her and he just said, you know, she has done what she could, and she's shown great love, and that it is not a waste. You know, she has done this for my burial. And what I want to encourage you moms, and I know some of you, you have amazing gifts and talents and abilities. Many of you have degrees. Some of you may have even master's degrees. You are well qualified and capable. And, you know, you are women that could really do a lot in this world. And for you to take some of these prime years of your life, and sometimes it feels like what a waste. And sometimes the enemy might speak and like yell in your brain and just say, "You are just wasting your life. You are just wasting your education. You are just wasting the call of God on your life, pouring it out, taking care of babies. What are you doing with your life? You're just changing diapers and nursing a baby and reading the same little storybook over and over again. What a waste. You could be devoting this time to help the poor. You could be devoting this time to travel overseas, you know." And what I want to encourage you is, it is not a waste. It is not a waste. That as you pour out your life right now to your little ones and in submission and obedience, just kneeling at the foot of Jesus and loving Jesus, loving your children, and just instilling that heart for missions in your home, it is not a waste. It is precious. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, the poor, you're always going to have with you. You know, there will be a time later for that, and God will show you. So I just want to, I just want to give that just as an encouraging word, that it is not a waste. Well, Father, right now, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just thank you for each mother and each of the children, Lord, that are represented by those who are listening. And Father, I just pray that you would help the moms to know how to balance a heart, this struggle, this tension between, you know, being a mother and this heart for missions. Lord, I thank you. They don't have to choose between loving the Lord and loving their little ones. Lord, that you can help them to do both. You can help tune, Lord, every string of their instrument so that it is in your balance and your way, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray for just your presence in the home and for you to just help that during this season for the roots of that passion for the lost to go down deep and strong, and for you to help, Lord, for these moms to be content in you and to realize that they can live in eternity and realize that you can bring to fulfillment the visions and the dreams that you have given them in your timing and in your way. And Lord, we just trust you. We trust you, and we thank you for the holy calling of motherhood. You know, there's just such an attack on the family today. And Lord, we just thank you for the honor of being a mother and caring for these little ones. Lord, help us to love our children like you have loved us. And help us, Lord, to lay down our life and to pick up our cross with joy. Even the cross of motherhood and the cross of missions, Lord, that it wouldn't be a burden or some martyr mentality, Lord, that it would be with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for coming and for just being a part of this call. And Brittany, do you have any closing remarks?
Just when you were praying, the scripture that came to mind was just faithful is he that calls us, that he will do it. And that just God's going to be faithful to complete that desire in our heart.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. Well, God bless you all. And I just thank you so much for joining us here at Daring Daughters. God bless you all. Bye-bye.